Hello, my name is Chip Ling, and you are listening to Total EM. Tyler Christofoli is back yet again for the second week in a row, and this time we're talking about acronyms for, basically the stuff you do after you intubate someone. And mine is just kind of in general, but really Tyler's is pretty similar, and it's so funny because we developed these, I believe, independently of each other, and mine is the STOP acronym, and his is the COMFORT acronym. We're going to cover both ways because they're both good, easy acronyms to remember, and I'm one of those guys, I really don't use them that much, but these are ones that I feel like you can actually remember, especially Tyler's. Tyler's is better than mine, but I just had to plug mine because I kind of spent some time on it, so I guess it was kind of one of those things I should probably do something about it. But let's go through this with Tyler. Why don't we go through yours first? Because you actually have a nice little systematic way, and we'll kind of tie in how STOP goes with it.
Well, first of all, Chip, I don't think that mine is better than yours. I think they both do the exact same thing. I just came up with this one when I did a podcast. It was one of the first episodes I did called The Agitated Intubated Patient. There's a big picture of the Hulk with a tube coming out of his mouth, because sometimes you walk into the ER or the ICU or wherever we're picking up a patient, and the patient's peak pressures are going off. They are rolling around in the bed. They look very uncomfortable. Sometimes they are actually looking at you, and you need a fast plan to make sure that you can make them comfortable. Nobody wants to have a piece of plastic down their vocal cords and not be comfortable. And so what I did is I designed this acronym, COMFORT. And we'll start off with C. So C, the first thing I want to do is confirm that the tube is in the goddamn right spot. Because if the tube is in their esophagus and they're hypoxic or they're breathing around the tube, which I have seen, then that is explaining why they're probably uncomfortable. So I walk in, my eyes go to the end-tidal CO2 monitor. I see that they have a positive waveform. I see that the numbers look good, and I make sure that the tube is in the right spot. So that's C for me. The next is O. So O stands for opioids. I want to make sure that I take an A1 approach. I am giving them analgesics because it turns out being intubated is kind of painful. And there's some people who say it's not. However, I can't even get my knuckles down my throat before I start gagging and start feeling very uncomfortable. And I think that that makes sense to go ahead and take away the pain side of the equation. M, make it easier to breathe. So I shorten that eye time a little bit, increase that inspiratory flow rate, turn down the trigger if I have to a little bit so they don't have to draw as much in to trigger a breath. F is a free-flowing catheter. What? Why do we need a free-flowing catheter? And that's because if you have a patient that has a full bladder, you will use every drug in the world to try to sedate them, and they are not going to be comfortable. So I want to make sure that that Foley, if they have one in, which they should if they're intubated, is free-flowing and I don't have any sort of obstruction. O, oxygenation and ventilation. Patients get very uncomfortable as their CO2 rises. Analgesics probably will take care of some of that, but this is just a good point to look and say, all right, are they oxygenating well? Are they hypoxic? Are they hypercapnic? Let's fix that if they are. And then at the end, I have resedate. And that's the R. And the reason I say resedate is because I don't want to sedate over something that's wrong that I could fix. You can't out-sedate bad ventilator habits. You can't out-sedate somebody who is in pain. You can, but it just takes a lot more of that sedative. So then I turn to resedation. And then the last T is think about paralytics. And I had turned to paralytics, but I like think about paralytics because ventilator asynchrony with the patient is not good. We know that. We know that can cause atelectasis trauma, and that is not a very beneficial thing for the patient to be doing for prolonged periods of time in the ICU. So if the patient in certain situations, like an asthmatic, they might need to be paralyzed. And this is at the end of everything else. And there might even be stuff that I'm not even thinking about right now, but these are the main ones. And I do this real quick in my head. It takes me a couple seconds. And then I can say, all right, if I use the paralytics, it wasn't because I was trying to mask something else. The patient is well covered with analgesics. They're well covered with sedatives. Now I can feel a little bit more comfortable and sleep better at night knowing I used a paralytic.
That is such a nice little method because you have a very stepwise approach It is pretty much in the order of how you're going to do this. Mine kind of is, but at the same time really isn't, but I can explain how it is actually in a stepwise manner. But ultimately, I really like the method. The only thing that gets me a little bit is because you have two O's in there, and I'm one of those guys, like, if you're going to have the same letter twice, well, shit, which one goes in the right order? I lose track. So that's where I kind of had the STOP acronym as maybe slightly more advantageous than yours, because so the S stands for sedation and suction, which I guess I'm going also to acronym hell because I'm combining things, but at least mine doesn't have repeat letters. So that's, again, about the only thing I've got going for it. But my thing is that early on, assuming that you actually already confirmed the two, which should have been the first thing you've done, right? Like you should have, hey, we put this in. I made sure that I actually got it in through the cords and it's resting happily in the trachea and it's not too far down and stuff like that. For me, I'm doing ultrasound right off the bat. You're also going to use the waveform capnography and that kind of thing too. But I can do ultrasound just as fast as that. And I can tell how deep I went. So I really like having that way. But beside the point, the main thing is that, okay, I already know my tube's there, but I still can't get this patient calmed down. Okay, sedation. And that's including for me taking care of the pain. You know, analgesia is wonderful for your sedation. I can sedate patients with just fentanyl alone, have a really good fentanyl drip going, or ketamine, even better. And great, I've got that. The ketamine's kind of cheating though, because you got your built-in sedation. But I've had patients where they did great on the tube just with fentanyl alone, and it was wonderful. But beside the point with that, the main thing is, again, you need to do your sedation and then consider suction, because sometimes the heavy secretions makes it hard for them to breathe. And so they're getting agitated with the intubation and their post-intubation care. So this is just something to do really easily. And this is something that we all should be carrying is some way to suction out the tube and everything else, which ties into the next part. The T is for the tube. And this is for all the kind of things that tie in with that. Is it properly placed? Making sure that there's not issues going on with air leaks or stuff like that. Did you check the cuff pressure? Usually we can't actually measure cuff pressure in most cases unless you have specialized equipment, but just feel the pilot cuff. Does it feel really tight? If it's really tight, it could be also annoying for the patient, could be painful. Or is it so weak that air is leaking around it? That's another possibility. And then also think about your other tubes. In a sense, it's like your Foley, you can consider that a tube, your gastric tube, all those types of things. All those types of tubes are all playing a role there and making sure
that they're in. Man, quit stealing my shit.
I know, I stole your shit. Accept it. So you didn't mention the gastric tube though, so ha. And the cuff pressure.
I know, that's true. But, you know, I just worry, you know, sedation and suction, you know, those both start with S's. And I just think that would confuse me too much.
Yeah. See, Tyler, the simple paramedic. I am joking. So,
man, I'd rather have two O's than two S's. No, I think this one should
be called
the acronym battle.
All right.
Don't even get me started at the P's. I'll show you what my concern is with that one when we get there. Go ahead.
Yeah.
No, please,
well,
go on.
No. It's fine because we'll get to oxygen and ventilation, because I figured you'd say, well, what the hell? You have a V with an O. No way in hell does this work. So I see. I admit I don't have as good an acronym as Tyler Christofoli because he's the best damn paramedic ever. Blah,
all
blah,
right.
Blah,
you know
blah,
what?
As long as
we all just say it, you know, it just makes it feel better. The first step is admitting it. Go ahead.
Massage the ego. Massage the ego.
Go ahead.
So Tyler and I just had a little bit of banter, which we had to cut some of it out, but I'm keeping some of this in because it's just too good. Anyway, oxygen, ventilation. Yes, Tyler, I already know it's a combination that's kind of weird, but it makes me think with the O, oxygenation. Well, naturally the ventilator goes with it. So I'm making sure, am I sufficiently oxygenating the patient? If I got too low of an FiO2, I may not have their O2 sats bumped up enough. Maybe that's part of the issue. The ventilator settings, is my eye time appropriate? Am I making it easy enough to trigger breaths? Should I be using things like humidified air to help with the comfort of being intubated and getting forced into oxygen and air that's not my own that I normally breathe? All those types of things could play a potential role. And then finally, the one which sounds like Tyler already has an issue with is pain and paralytics. So again, I'm revisiting, did I take care of their pain? Did I adequately control the pain the first time, or do I need to make sure that I've got this? And that includes other painful stimuli. So again, ET tube is painful. You know, no one really likes to be gagged and continuously gagged. And then the other thing is the Foley, which we already kind of talked about in tubes, but it just reminds you, like, hey, make sure the Foley is actually draining. Maybe this is someone who came from the nursing home and they got some huge clots in their Foley catheter, which is preventing it from draining. So do you need to change it out? Do you need to basically wash it out? What do you need to do to make things free flowing so that there's not as much pain? And then the paralytics is last resort. And I really believe that if you're going to use paralytics, you've already controlled the pain and you've already sedated them well, and that this is only a temporary thing. If you go back to one of my early conversations with Chris Madej on the podcast, we said how we hate paralytics, but sometimes it's needed. This is one of those times where, as Tyler so eloquently pointed out first, is that there are times that you want to use paralytics.
I think that the oxygenation and ventilation is fine. And I think that's actually, I think that makes sense because that's what I did too in my acronym. But I think that the pain and paralytics gives me a little visceral pain just because there is already a concerning amount of patients that I ask the physician or the paramedic or whoever, hey, what did you guys get for pain? And somehow rocuronium gets brought up.
Isn't rocuronium a pain medication, though?
Yeah, it's a phenomenal pain medication. I don't want those getting confused, so I don't even put them next to each other in the acronym. I use the word opioid, but I think that...
Yeah, but opioids makes me think that you're leaving out ketamine. Okay,
I know.
Ketamine is so much better. We'll have a separate debate there, Tyler, and you know you're already wrong because you said I know.
I know. I am. I'm just going to shut up and drink my coffee and eat my cookies right now.
Scotch would be better. I guess it's a little early in the day for scotch, huh?
I don't know if you can hear this.
Oh.
But that was a cookie I just ate while I sat there and, oh crap, I spilt my coffee all over your acronym.
Oh, well,
no, man, I love it. You know what? The trick is, as long as you have something you're going off of and you understand it, then it works.
And realistically, and I'm not trying to poke holes in it, but since you started, I like STOMP because it's fewer letters and it's fewer things I have to actually remember in a sense. Yes, comfort covers all basically the same stuff, but I feel like only I had to have the comfort thing right in front of me, and that's one more piece of paper or something that I'm not actually going to have. Maybe if it's on an innovation checklist, it would probably work better than the STOMP, but if I have to cognitively recall something, I'm probably thinking of STOMP.
No, and you know what? It's cute because I put a little picture of a baby on it sleeping and, you know, on the infographic, but do you have the comfort acronym that I just said to you written down in front of you?
No, because I knew you know it because you did. But I remember the picture of the baby.
This is what I want to do. I want to test you. I want to see if you can remember what it stands for.
Well, I keep wanting to say when I hear comfort, I'm like, C stands for comfort. C would be confirmation.
All right. You got it. C is confirmation.
O would be opioids.
All right.
M would be, no, not mechanically ventilate. M would be.
Make it easier.
Oh, make it easier to breathe. See, yours is phrases. Yours are phrases. Mine's a damn word. Another problem with it. F is force a cookie down Tyler's throat.
No. All right. What is F, man? Let's think back. Come on.
Foley. It's the Foley. Check the Foley. Make sure they pee.
Make sure they pee.
And then O is stupid because it's the second O, but it's oxygenation and ventilation. Because you stole mine.
It's stupid, but you remembered it. And then what is R?
R is, like, I feel like you're just staring behind you and keep looking behind my shoulder here.
I am staring at you right now. Right before you paralyzed, you know, you decided.
Resedate. You need to resedate them. There we go. And then
thank
P is paralyzed.
You, Lord. Yep, and then think about paralytics.
Yeah,
so you're right. I have a combination of words and phrases, and it's stupid, and it'll probably never go anywhere. And I'm not Rich Levitan, so get off my back because I suck at acronyms. All right, think about it, man. He came up with no DSAT, which is probably one of the most genius acronyms I've ever thought of in my life.
Well, because it's Richard Levitan, so I mean,
it's the most genius acronym that I can think about because it explains exactly what you're trying not to do. Oh, wait, mine does that too.
Oh, but his is actually one that you can kind of halfway remember. Go through DSAT because you brought it up.
Yeah, nasal oxygenation during effort securing a tube. I think it makes a ton of sense. It's beautiful, and that's why Rich Levitan is better than me. Actually, there's a lot of reasons why he's better than me. Yeah, no, he's the master of acronyms. I like the coffin position, the acronym he uses, because it is can't oxygenate face flat in neutral.
You remember all these. You like memory games, huh?
No, you know what? I have no idea why. I teach this stuff a lot, so when I teach it, I'm always throwing up his acronyms because I like them. I think they make sense. The one that I hate with a fiery passion, and I have no idea why everybody remembers it, is DCAP BTLS.
Oh my gosh, yes, I teach
what
that.
What the hell does DCAP BTLS even mean?
Deformities, contusions, abrasions, punctures, penetrations, burns, tenderness, lacerations, swelling.
Right? I mean, why do we remember that?
Because it was forced on me in EMT school that I had to remember that stupid shit.
It doesn't spell anything, and somehow we all just memorize it so well. I don't get that. Sample, OPQRST.
Yep. Man, onset, provocation, palliation, quality, radiation, severity, time.
Yeah, so we remember. I mean, you know, and that's why I think there is some benefit to having acronyms. I think if anything, it helps us study for stuff. It helps us with maybe testing in actual real life situations. I don't know if I sit back and go, oh, okay, no DSAT. I just think, all right, let's put the nasal cannula on.
And see, I think that's the important point right there, is that you aren't probably going to actually remember the acronym itself, right? Unless you're sitting in a nice, cool, calm environment, you're not really thinking about that a lot of times. It's like the H's and T's. If you're truly in a stressful environment, let's take someone who's new, because that's really what it comes down to. They're not going to be thinking of that cognitively on their own. Are you expecting them to actually remember H's and T's?
No. If you have to think of hypovolemia starts with an H, and that's why I'm going to give fluid, then you're setting yourself up for failure. We're not using these in the heat of the moment. We're using them on tests. We use them to teach. We use them because it's cute, and that's about it. So yeah, get down a system that works for you. Figure out an accumulation of letters, teach it that way, build those mental models of what you want to do. But in the heat of the moment, for God's sake, don't use acronyms.
Tyler, I think we just screwed ourselves because we said we agree that acronyms suck for actual clinical shit, Tyler, our acronyms are useless.
That's all right, man. I think a lot of people would agree with that. Stop points and checklists are great. Acronyms, don't use them in the heat of the moment. Use them when you're preparing for something or studying something or for a test. But nah, don't use it. Use a checklist. And if your checklist just happens to be an acronym, that's fine. But don't have that something you need to recall. Have that written down somewhere.
Well, I think we can end on that solid point. Unless you have anything else that you want to point out besides that my acronym sucks.
No, that was about it. And you said it. So no, I'm just kidding. I love it. I think it's really good. I think that... I think it's a lot like mine. I think that's why it's really good. All right, man. You take care, brother. Thanks a lot for having me on the show.
Absolutely. Can you provide us a tagline before you go, though?
This is Chip Lang with Total EM saying, continue to provide total care everywhere.
You use my name.
I know. I just wanted to use your name.